I'm Matt Costella of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association in Fresno, California, along with Pastor Gary Friel, the Grace Bible Church of Fresno. And once again, we appreciate your willingness to tune in as we consider questions and issues that we face in the world, in the church, and in our lives each day. And in this particular podcast today, we want to discuss something that really is a topic that is discussed quite a bit in churches and among believers. There's a lot of dissension concerning the topic of the rapture, the timing of the rapture, the importance of the rapture. When we're talking about the rapture, we're talking about the catching away, the return of Jesus Christ in the air, and the catching up of believers, those who have believed in him, to be with the Lord and to ever be with the Lord. And so I do thank you again, Pastor Gary, for being a part of our discussion and the podcast. You know, this is such a controversial topic today in the church. I know it has been for, you know, for years. And yet it seems that we're finding more and more believers are being told by their pastors, by Christian leaders out there, don't worry so much about prophecy, particularly the rapture, the timing of the rapture. It's not that important. There are so many different views. We don't need to disagree and be divisive over this. And so let's just kind of relegate the study of prophecy, particularly the rapture and the timing of the rapture, to the back shelf.
Right.
Do you think it's important? I mean, do you think that this particular doctrine is important to the church today, to the individual believer today?
I think it's crucial. I think it's vital to not just the here and now, but the future. I think we tend to focus so much on the here and now, and we really forget that this is just really a time of preparation for the coming kingdom and for the eternal state. We're not to minimize what's happening now. I mean, what is happening now is important, but at the same time, we need to look at all of life in a big picture type of a way, I guess. And if you don't focus on a pre-tribulational rapture, I think you get off. You start getting off in other areas as well, because it goes back to the nature and purpose of the church. Mm-hmm. Why is the church here? What is the church about? Is the church different from Old Testament Israel and from future Israel? Is there a plan that God has for future Israel, and does the church have a part in that? Or, you know, it relates to a lot of different things if we don't keep the rapture in its proper order and in its proper context.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because I feel as though with this cry today among pastors and Christian leaders that, you know, don't worry about it. Don't be so dogmatic about this, about the timing of the rapture. I have a lot of concerns about that, but one of my concerns centers around the fact that the Bible does teach something here.
Yeah.
Either we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds at any time, and then 7 years of tribulation is going to occur, followed by the millennial kingdom and then the eternal state. Or the Bible teaches no, right, we're going to experience some real, you know, wrath being poured out on this world and some real tribulation. I mean, the Bible doesn't teach both. It's one or the other.
Right.
And I think that we need to understand and study what the Bible is saying. And there's nothing wrong about being dogmatic about the conclusion that we come to, that we think the Bible teaches. We don't do this with other doctrines and issues.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, the very topic of salvation is very controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that believe, you know, works or baptism or, you know, whatever it might be. And yet we don't say, well, there's so many opinions about salvation. Let's just kind of forget all our differences. Or baptism, as you brought up. You know, there's so many different – no, I mean, the Bible declares the truth.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, anything and everything. There is truth that does exist.
And I think when you say, well, this does not necessarily relate to the gospel, therefore the timing of the rapture is not important. What I think happens then is, and what we've seen in church history, is this is a slippery slope. This is allowing the camel to get his nose into the tent.
Right.
And okay, We're just gonna compromise on this. We're just gonna back off on this one doctrine. It doesn't stop there.
Right. Good point.
It kind of snowballs. There's a domino effect.
Because of course there are many, you know, views. We can't use the argument that, well, it's kind of difficult to understand in Scripture and there are so many views, so let's just not count it as being that important or something to be dogmatic about or divisive about.
Right.
Now, of course, I understand we need to be respectful of those who disagree and talk about it. But my concern is, even among those who have traditionally been good and dispensational and pre-tribulational, premillennial on these things, we're hearing today from those, even those people that, and those leaders, those Christian leaders, oh, let's just back off a little bit here. Let's not be so dogmatic. Let's join with those who don't agree with us on this. And again, like you said, not only is this a slippery slope, but I think in general, taking that approach is undermining more than just the timing of the rapture. Mm-hmm. To take that approach is actually embracing various interpretive and hermeneutical processes. I mean, it's just we can't do that. That's not something that I, as a pastor, and I know you as a pastor, are willing to let go.
No.
I mean, we believe God's word is truth in everything that it says, and that it is to be understood in its proper cultural, historical, grammatical, dispensational context.
Right.
And we're going to teach God's word that way. And if we're consistent with that, it will lead us to an understanding of the fact that Jesus Christ could come at any moment.
Right.
There's nothing that has to happen before Christ comes. There's no revelation of an Antichrist. There's no tribulation period. There's no, I mean, we're waiting for Christ. That is what the New Testament apostles and prophets and Jesus himself, before he left his disciples, is making very clear. You're waiting for me.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit about that.
You know, and I love the language of Scripture, but the way Paul communicates the truth about the rapture, those rapture passages are given in a specific context, each one of them. And if you study the context of the passages, you have to come away with an understanding of a pre-tribulational rapture. For example, he uses the term in Titus 2, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, he's talking about something that is blessed, that is happy,
that causes
joy and comfort and confidence in a believer, not something that causes fear and terror and anxiety and worry and all of that. It's totally opposite. And then I love what he says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, not for signs, not for some indication that we're getting close. No, we look for the Savior."
That's like
pure and simple.
That's so true. And my favorite passage, you brought up Philippians. What a great text that is. My favorite passage in explaining the reality of the rapture, of course, would be 1st and 2nd Thessalonians.
Right.
But, I mean, look at 1st Thessalonians chapter 4. I mean, in 1st Thessalonians chapter 4, he's elaborating on the reality of this rapture and the comfort that it should bring. In chapter 5, he says, this is when it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you don't expect it, before all of this wrath and tribulation and all of this stuff. And then, of course, he elaborates on that more in 2nd Thessalonians. But I love this text. I love the comfort that it brings. There's nothing comforting about telling Christians today, you are going to go through so much horrible trial and wrath of God and tribulation that's going to be poured out on this earth and his judgment and all of these things. Oh, but watch for the Lord. I mean, you may die. You're probably going to die in this great trip. You know, that's not the thrust of what the Apostle Paul is sharing here. And I know I'm talking too much. So.
And you hear that. You'll hear this too all the time. I mean, Christians don't deserve to participate in the rapture. And when I hear that, I just smile because I think, well, we don't deserve to even be saved.
That's right.
And Paul addresses that in verse 10 of chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
When he talks about to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, and I love verse 10, who died for us.
Right.
The point is, our participation in the rapture isn't something that we deserve, isn't something that we earn or merit. It is a benefit of our salvation. just like any benefit is, it's simply a benefit of our salvation.
It's his grace.
It is totally grace.
That's right.
And you know, you go back to Titus 2. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. And then he goes into looking for the blessed hope.
That's right.
You know, it is all of grace. One of my favorites is Revelation 3:10,
right,
where it says that we are kept from the hour. Not that we are kept through, not that we are kept during the period of time, but we're kept from the very hour of tribulation, of temptation, which shall come upon the whole earth.
Right.
And if you do a study of the Revelation chapters 6 through 18, you know, and you do a study of those terms, of the term earth dweller, or those that dwell on the earth, and you contrast that to what he's shown in Revelation 2 and 3 mm-hmm. about the church, there's such a marked difference there.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
This is something that God is doing on the earth, mm-hmm. but he's not appointed the church to be a part of that. In fact, he's going to keep us. He's going to deliver us from the very hour of that terrible, terrible time. And I think that's another thing too, Matt, that people don't understand how bad the tribulation really is going
right.
to be. It's really hit me the last 4 or 5 years how horrible it's going to be for people on this earth.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pleasant. It's certainly not going to be easy. There is a terrible, terrible time coming. And every day I thank the Lord that I have the promise that I'm not going to be here for that.
Oh, that's so true. And it's not, as critics argue against us, it's not escapism.
No.
It's not, we're not just, we're just coming up with this theology, you know, so that we don't think we have to. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And yet it
right.
tells us right now,
right
now, wait for Christ. But
right.
in the meantime, I also marvel at how many times the authors of Scripture talk about the coming of Christ in reference to the rapture. And always within that context, it's emphasized the need for us as believers now
right.
to be ready, to not have some kind of escapist mentality, but to honor the Lord, to do the work he's called us to do while we're here now
right.
with the time he's given us. I love, you know, the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and now little children, referring to believers, abide in him. I mean, make sure you're walking with Christ and in fellowship with him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean,
powerful.
And again, there's the pronouns again. I think John thought he would be one of them.
He did.
He says right here,
yeah.
we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. People are too infatuated with following other people.
Yeah.
I mean, people are too much, I'm of so-and-so who takes this approach, and I'm of so-and-so, and I'm not gonna do anything to go against what pastor or doctor or Bible teacher so-and-so says because this is where they stand on the issue. And Christian leaders are doing more harm today to the cause of Christ than I think, you know, just people sitting in the pews, in the sense of the false teaching that's being propagated, the distance from the getting away from the truth and of God's word understood in its proper context and the way God means it to be understood is devastating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as we wrap it up, and I know our time's up as fast as it went here, but I want to encourage those who are listening to the podcast, make much of doctrine. Don't minimize the truth of the any moment, the imminent return of Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing, is make much of this, study this, and embrace this. And then number two, understand in Scripture the reality of the any moment return of Jesus Christ, and then the subsequent 7 years of tribulation, and then the millennial kingdom. Don't shy away from that.
No.
Be encouraged in that, because that's what Paul and John and Peter and the writers of Scripture were doing. They were encouraging believers in this truth.
Yeah.
They were comforting believers and to be ready, to be looking. And we've lost that today, but I think we need to come back to that. And I
Absolutely.
Want to encourage listeners. What does the Bible say? It's very clear. Be comforted. Look for Jesus Christ. He could come back at absolutely any moment.